drainage systems for these streets.
I'd like to call a meeting of the City Council on this January 5th day to order, and thank everyone for being here, and a new year as well, and hope everyone had a good Christmas time, and also wish everyone a happy new year in our new year. And we all pray, I think, that we'll keep moving forward as quickly as we can and have a great, great new year in 15. We do have a short agenda. I don't think we had one published. However, we've just got a couple of items on here. So as we get started, though, we'll have council prayer and then a pledge of allegiance.
Almighty Heavenly Father, I want to first say thank you on behalf of all those who are gathered here today. Thank you for all of our many and abundant blessings. Thank you for life itself and for the health and freedom you have provided us to fulfill our chosen paths and to chart our respective courses. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of your sharing these and each of our individual responsibilities. As we gather here tonight, I pray for our mayor and for all of our city staff and officials and for this assembled council. I'm asking that you would graciously grant us the wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our time, a sense of the welfare of the true needs of our people, a keen thirst for justice and rightness, confidence in what is good and right, the ability to work together in harmony even when there is honest disagreement, personal peace in our lives and joy in our tasks. I also ask that you remember our men in uniform serving locally, nationally, and abroad, and that you continue to watch over them and their families as they risk so much to protect and to serve each of us. Finally, all of this we ask for the benefit of the City of Aiken, our employees, and all of our cities and all of our citizens and loved ones. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please let allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The way our agenda is stated on the paper, it talks about number one, presentation. I don't know that we have one, but we'll just use this as we normally do to say if there's any additions or deletions to the agenda. Are there? If not, we'll move on. Then it says all business, further consideration, if there's anything there. I don't know about it. And now down to the new business, the consideration. Item one is approval to sales of homes for demolition, in Crosland Park. And number two of that would be the review of a concept of plan for senior youth center. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. LeDuc.
Thank you, Mayor.
To take that
One of the benefits we had of Urban Land Institute coming to Aiken in December was they talked to staff about a possibility of a grant for demolition of homes in the Crosland-Edgewood area. They felt, after looking at what was the possibility in Crosland Park, that we have an excellent chance of getting this grant that we were not even aware of. And the deadline, though, was very short. By the time that we heard about the grant and Emory and I had a chance to talk about it, it was after our last council meeting. And so we've been putting our heads together, have met with Second Baptist, have talked to Nehemiah Corporation out of the Greenville area. And we think we have a very good grant, a very good opportunity for the City of Aiken to demo these homes, which are all boarded up right now. Emory and I looked at the sites, and they're sorely needed to come down. This would allow us to receive through a nonprofit, the nonprofit that we have chosen, the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation. Harvey Ramseur is here tonight, who heads up that group, to answer any questions that you may have. How it would work is we would jointly submit the grant. Nehemiah Corporation has some other homes that they're working with, Second Baptist, that they also include. It makes our application that much stronger. Nehemiah Corporation is looked at in the state as one of the leading, if not the leading, development corporations for this type of work. Second Baptist has done over 100 homes. And so by having them get the grant, they would receive $35,000 per home. There's 8 homes. With that money, they would be paid in the city of Aiken $20,000 per lot. We'd be selling them the lot and the home. Then the additional $15,000 would be used for the demolition. A project that I was working at in another community that had over 40 homes, the prices came in primarily between $8,000 and $10,000. These homes are fairly small, so we expect that most of them would be able to be removed under $10,000. And then the additional $5,000 to $7,000 they would have available for maintenance and upkeep and any management costs. This does not pay for administration, so it's management costs instead of administration for this grant. Once the grant would be submitted next Monday, I'm sure the state will have numerous questions. That's what happened on the grant that we received in this other community. Getting actual prices for demolition, making sure the home ownership is there, that they can buy those homes. But we feel that by the end of February, we should have knowledge from the state on us getting this grant. So, again, we think this is an excellent opportunity for the city. It would take care of getting rid of the homes, or demolition of the homes. It would be something that we believe that Second Baptist could probably get some other funding to build homes, hopefully on many of these sites. But it also saves the city about $8,000 to $10,000 to have to remove those homes, the asbestos, and then the removal itself. So we are asking you tonight to approve the resolution that we have to sell the homes to Second Baptist at $20,000. If they get the grant, then we would come back after the February time period with a formal first and second reading of an ordinance where the document would be listing each home and the formal sale of that to Second Baptist. So again, it's just a resolution tonight saying you are in agreement to sell these homes should they receive this grant.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Any discussion? Any thoughts?
Just for the record, we need to make sure that Second Baptist on record is supportive of receiving this request.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey,
for the record, Harvey Ramser just shook his head up and down.
I just have one question. The cover memo says the properties must have a mortgage or lien. Is that satisfied with
the fact that we own these properties? We feel when we talk to state that would cover it.
Okay.
I have a question about what covenants or deed restrictions or whatever might go with it as it transfers. Is there a requirement? I mean, obviously the intent would be tear them down and do this, but is there a requirement in terms of a deed restriction that would require that it be torn down and within a certain period of time? Or could these suddenly just sit there for a long time?
Once they have the grant, there will be some stipulation from the grant as to tearing it down and when they would have to have them torn down by.
Okay.
Then after 3 years, if they decide not to go ahead and put a home on that property, they have the ability to sell that property to another seller.
Buyer.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a time element component to it.
Yes.
It wouldn't just sit sort of...
No. Yeah. The intent is we would like to see the homes torn down immediately.
Right.
Now, the intent to tear down in a period of time would come from the grant because there's no city requirement.
That's what I understand.
Right. And if for some reason we don't get the grant, then we will be using city funds to tear down these homes this fiscal year.
And, Roger, they've been sitting for how many years?
vacant.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say they've been sitting there for over 50 years.
Right.
Vacant for the last several years.
Okay.
I mean, they're secure,
so
they're boarded up.
The point is, we're as anxious
oh, yeah.
to get them removed as others.
Right.
So
the win-win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's about time we got out of the real estate business and let people that can make a profit do it, obviously, which we didn't.
Well, they've obviously demonstrated that they know what they're doing.
Well,
they do.
They do.
And one of the things that with Second Baptist, they have not been in the demolition business in the past. All of the places that they, I believe that you have built on, have all been what I'd call a green field site, or a couple of them you've torn down, but it... We have, that's why this is going to be a partnership. We're going to work with them because we have a lot of information, background in tearing down homes. And so we could help them with this.
I have some questions, and Dick asked one of them. In the cover letter, it says mortgage or lien. And then in the resolution, it talks about mortgage or lien. And then over in the memorandum of understanding, it says transfer the 8 properties on about the third paragraph down. And I was concerned about using different words in different places. And maybe you can look at that and see, but I just want to be sure that we haven't. When the state reads these things, in my experience working with it mostly through the Crossing Park grants as well as Aiken Park, the use of the words continuously through the same word through there would have made a difference then. So I don't know if it's a difference here at this stage. But when we go through the sale, it makes a difference.
Roger, correct me if I'm wrong. I had initially prepared an ordinance for council to have first reading tonight, so
uh-huh.
it would be clear that we were selling the property.
Okay.
And unfortunately, there's not enough time. And Roger wanted to make sure that the city was not obligated to sell the property if, in fact, they went to these people that have the program.
Yeah.
And they turned us down. And so what this resolution is doing is letting the people know when they go to apply for these funds that this is a partnership between the city and Second Baptist Church. We do plan to convey the property to them if their grant is approved.
Okay.
Well, so they're right. That's correct.
I wanted to be sure because there's different words on different pages that if I was reading it from the state side, I'd say, wait a minute, they're wording. But this is just the partnership agreement. Then if once we get it, we would do the land transfer through two
correct.
Readings or
yes,
sale through two readings.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things to kind of follow up on that, when we got the grant from the state for $500,000 to tear down, like I said, over 40 homes and clear up a couple of dozen lots, between the time we submitted the application and we heard that we got the grant, we probably went through a dozen iterations of changes mm-hmm. that the state then required to make. So if there's something wrong here, if they want it worded a little bit differently, we could certainly make those changes between now and the end of February.
All right. Well, that was my concern when I read through this. There were different words that on that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is a side comment. Harvey and I are well aware of this, and I've talked to Reverend Slaughter. We do have a lot of other vacant lots that you could probably get at a very good price to build houses on if you were interested.
In fact, we were looking at one on Ridge Avenue today. So,
that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Do we need to
a motion
on this? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, we do.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt this resolution authorizing the City of Aiken to, and memorandum of understanding with Second Baptist Development Corporation for this initiative. So,
I second.
Okay. All right. Fine. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Before we go to the next time, I just want to say thank you to Emery. She's been really working hard on this, and for Harvey over the last 2 weeks of what many of you celebrate as Christmas and New Year's, their emails going back and forth and messages, and we still have a lot of work to get done, but this is a very quick process, and I'd like to thank the two of you for all your help in this. And to, as a little sidebar on this, at the January 26th meeting, we're going to be giving you some information on DuPont Landing. There's 53 or 4 homes that are built out there right now by Second Baptist Corporation. It's a great development. We entered into initially with them, I believe it was 2006, to support them in many ways, and we're going to have to come back with a small modification. The good news is these rental properties, we're receiving probably over $16,000 in taxes from it every year. And that's just on the homes, not including the cars and everything else. So it's been a great partnership, and it's worked out really well, and it's a great development, and kudos to Harvey and to Second Baptist for all they're doing out there.
Absolutely.
If I might add a little bit to that, Mr. Mayor and Roger, Mrs. Ramsey, I just want to thank you for loaning us Harvey. And Harvey does an excellent job. But one of the things that the public, the people feel about you, Harvey, is that you are a quiet mover and shaker. You don't make a lot of noise. You just get it done. And certainly with your help, working very closely with Second Baptist, the Second Baptist family, and Reverend Slaughter, you all have made some incredible differences in this community. And just a public thank you for your labor of love, but also your quietness in going about doing a good job, not only for us, but for this community at large.
And our staff at the Clyburn Center for Primary Care thanks you for the view, because when they are having their lunches and taking their breaks in the break room, we have the most beautiful view of DuPont Landing. And we thank you for that.
I think one thing that all of us...
You have to come to the mic. I go on record.
Is that why you said that?
We
should do it so well.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I think one thing that we at Second Baptist and Second Baptist CDC are really focused on is the things that we can do as a small unit to improve the quality of life in this city. I get reminded often that I've been successful in a number of things in my professional life, but I miserably fail retirement. And I was going to ask Roger for some advice. I think that the effort that you as a council have, your focus on Crosland Park, which was a pioneer community years ago and an incredibly vibrant community, has fallen into some neglect over the years. As residents of that community move to other statuses in life. And it happens in all communities. And I think the council is, you deserve credit for your focus. You deserve credit for the energy that you put into an incredibly difficult process of trying to bring back to some sort of vibrancy a community of over 550 homes. With a plethora of vacationing landlords and some considerably disrepair. So we are proud to be a part of this struggle, and we think that hopefully the effort that we make and support in conjunction with the city and with Nehemiah, that you begin to see some progress in your efforts in front of you.
Steve Hamoki has asked in the past this down to you for Reverend Slaughter, a famous article done by the Aiken Standard.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item two there. Review a concept plan for the senior youth center.
Yeah, we had discussed with you several months ago the fact that we would have something to you the first of the year on a concept plan. We've been working with Cam Scott on this. You have actually two drawings, but we have prices that Glenn's going to go over with you for three different concept plans. Concept plan A has a larger community room that could seat 400 individuals. It has a space for Council on Aging. It has a major area as you enter in, a large foyer. It would be a social gathering spot down the center. That's what you're looking at in blue. And then there's parking throughout. Now, this particular concept plan and the other two are all entirely on the City of Aiken property in Eustis Park. Now, we hope to, in the next few months, work out an exchange of property with the school district, which will allow us to take this property that you see here and move it towards the east or towards Morgan Street. But this is the fallback position. No matter where we put it, we would like you tonight to be looking at this concept plan and to give us direction so that we can go out and hire an architect to do the final drawings. Location, it'll be in this location, but it may not be exactly in this location. If you see the dark gray line that's just on the lower part of the building, that is the existing walking path that is currently out there. But again, we hope that we're going to be able to slide this building to the east or towards Morgan Street, where the school district maintenance shop is at. Meetings are going to be held, I believe it could be as early as next week, with the school district on a potentially swap of some property up near I-20. But we're working towards that. But regardless of whether we get their property or not, this is the concept plan. The second one, which is concept plan B, is the same as A, except the community room on the very left-hand side of the building is much smaller. It seats 150. Everything else stays the same. So the difference is you got one with 150. I mean, we could go ahead and extrapolate the numbers and say, well, 150 is going to cost X amount. 200 seats is another 250, 300. So we gave you the two ranges. Concept C is taking out one of the classrooms on either side of the hallway. In other words, shortening the building up a little bit. The nice thing about five classrooms with these are two larger rooms, but it's got dividers in it. If you ever had some meetings and you had to have breakout sessions, three is not as good as five. And you don't save that much money by eliminating, but you do save some money. So Glenn is here tonight. He's going to walk you through this process. And the only change that has been mentioned to us by a couple of council members is the possibility of a portico or a place you pull your vehicle under to let people out and stay dry. And the possibility Council on Aging has up to $350,000 that they could contribute. They may want to have their facility next to the kitchen. The kitchen can be designed as just a catering kitchen. That's what we have in Rye Patch. That'd be about $50,000. A full-blown kitchen is about $150,000. Council on Aging doesn't care. They have all their meals right now cooked outside of their facility and are transported to their location. So they could go either way. So again, that's another council decision that can be made at some point.
And since you and I spoke this afternoon, I've actually got concept C on here.
Oh, you do? Good.
I can show you if you need to see it.
Okay.
It's literally the same building, just a little smaller footprint.
It's in our package, too.
You have C in your package?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It was put on the desk for us.
Good. Can you do that, Stuart? Thank you. You may have done that.
Sir,
I did that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. One of the things you need to know early on is this is concept five or six or seven or eight that Kim and I and PRT, Kim and her staff have worked on. So, you know, this is not the first generation of this. We've gone through it. We've talked with folks. We've moved things around, and we're still doing some of that. But I think we've come up with something that we think flows very well from a customer standpoint. That's one of the things that we wanted to focus on in this building, is to make it a good customer experience when they come to this building. And I think we've been able to do that. As Roger mentioned, I spoke with the Council on Aging as late as this afternoon. They're firm on their $350,000. That is a grant that they have to apply for from the Lieutenant Governor's office, but it's strictly for senior programs, and this fits right into that program. So they're pretty comfortable they can get that money.
And are they going to own that piece of the building? I mean, is that the idea? What's the deal?
Haven't talked about how they'll do that yet, if they would contribute that or if they would own it.
Where's that money? How does that money get applied? Do they own? Do they? Is it a whatever? I mean, if you haven't talked about it, you don't have an answer. Yeah.
We haven't talked about that. We realize that Council on Aging, if they move into this facility, we will have to have a memorandum of agreement with them.
Sure.
But they are open to this. The great thing about having the Council on Aging was one of the questions that I think Councilmember Dwyer brought up of, well, how many staff members are you going to have for these new buildings? Well, Council on Aging is there. Unless we have a specific event or a rental of the facility from 8 o'clock till sometime in the mid-afternoon, they'll be the only people there. They'll be staffing the building for us, and it'll save us tremendously on the number of staff members we would have to hire for that building.
And the way it's laid out intentionally was that would, even if they're there, that still opens up that social area for folks to come in. They could walk, they could use the fitness area anytime as long as Council on Aging's got the building open.
Mm-hmm. And that social area, think of it as like your living room. There'll be chairs, couches, there'll be some TVs on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a great spot for seniors or others to go ahead and utilize. Great open space.
Will Council on Aging move out entirely from their existing building?
That's what they're talking about.
They wouldn't probably move their transportation division into here. We've got to work with that, and that may be part of what we talk about on the next item on the agenda for the north side. I think you've all looked at Cam's numbers. You've seen what we're looking at. I looked at those. Cam gives some very good, honest numbers. I think they're pretty close. But I think we can do some things to save off those numbers. I mean, if you cut right off the top, if you're just looking, let's just stay with the 400 one, just concept A. You know, we know the 362 will come off of that. That's what the Council on Aging is going to give us. They'll give us $350,000. We know we can cut that. I look down here where he's projected that we need to spend $200 for a table. I know we can do a lot better than that on some of those little things. We can probably get that, cut that number in half. The same goes with the chairs, those kind of things. The music studio, there's $10,000 in here for a music studio. I don't know what the folks in that neighborhood want from a music studio, so it would be smart to me to design a room and let them come in and tell us what they want. I don't think we need to spend a lot of money initially on a music studio, because that could be a trending item, a trendy item. That, you know, if we design the room flexible enough that they can bring things in and we can still do some of that, I think we can be okay there and save some money initially doing that. The kitchen equipment, Cam has got that listed at $150,000. That sounds high. I asked him to price that at a DHEC-approved kitchen, and that would be full-blown with Council on Aging doing cooking and those kind of things to prepare their meals. Council on Aging feels like they currently have those meals prepared off-site, brought in, and then distributed. So I think we can save right off the top about $100,000 there in that kitchen, pull that down a little bit. The only other numbers, just some soft numbers down at the bottom, obviously if you bring construction down, the construction contingency goes down and the A&E fees go down. So Roger mentioned the possibility, I think he mentioned maybe moving some things. We've looked at some of that. Taking where you see the Council on Aging area right now, maybe putting that on the other side of the hall.
Next to the kitchen.
Correct. What that does, a couple of things. One, it puts Council on Aging next to the kitchen. They're going to be the primary users of that. What it does for us, if we choose to go with five rooms and we use the accordion walls that we can separate, then that gives us another large room. And I think each of those rooms there are 875 feet. One in the middle is a little bigger. So that gives us right at 4,000 feet for a room right there that we can do multiple things in. We can do breakouts of one, two, three. A lot of flexibility in that. In case you're not sure, it's shown in purple on your sheet, right up at the top of your sheet. That is the fitness area. And that would sit on top of the lobby. We tried to save some space there by doing that. So you would walk in, there would be an elevator there, there would be steps right by the restroom that you could access that. We did design this so that we close the building at 9 o'clock. We can access folks from the walking the park, walking the track. They can still access the restrooms after hours, just like we've designed at the Odell Weeks Center. They could also do that early in the morning if they wanted to walk the park without accessing the rest of the building. They could only get into the restrooms. I think that's something that a couple of you had mentioned. You would like to see that down there. You mentioned a portico cover. Yeah, we want to probably add that in just to provide some coverage. Other than that, I think it's a basically a pretty simple building. We want to make a splash, though. We want it to, you know, be something that will draw people to the building, not just the neighborhood. We want to draw people from all over Aiken into this building, and I think we can do that. And, you know, I haven't shown the concept to the Council on Aging yet. I haven't shown the concept to the Boys and Girls Clubs yet in this fashion. They've seen other renderings of it, but we'll sit down with them and talk about how they would program it, because as we talked all along, what we'd like to do is see Council on Aging do some programming in the morning, and then for after-school programming, those kind of folks, Council on Aging come in and do that programming. So,
Lynn, let me ask you a question, if I may. What is the, as far as you know, what is the proportion of older folks compared to younger folks, if you will? Seniors versus, let's say, the little kids or that they want to come over and be in that building, too, and do things. I'm getting to a point here. My question is this. I don't think there's a place for a basketball court, is there?
No, sir.
And I'm assuming when I notice this that there's just not going to be enough people that want to play basketball, although I think a lot of people play basketball because it's pretty easy to do that. It doesn't cost any much money at all and that kind of thing. So you have any idea about the split of folks and if it would really be enough young people that might want to get out?
The ceiling in that room is 25 feet. Okay. That would allow us, if we wanted to purchase portable goals or something of that nature, to roll in a portable goal if we wanted to play basketball, if we wanted to play pickleball. It's tall enough to do that. The thought was is we'll be using it a lot as a banquet hall. You don't want to hold your family reunion in a gym if we can help that. If we can make it a little more formal of a facility, a little more of a formal feel to it. Mm-hmm. And I think the term Cam used was banquet room. But yet it's flexible enough with the flooring and those kind of things that we could do basketball if we chose to. Mm-hmm. And found that need was there. People wanted that.
I'm just curious, not that I'm advocating one way or the other, but how high is the ceiling in Odell Weeks for basketball? That's pretty high, isn't it?
Around 30.
Is it? I don't
think so. Well, the other thing, if you hang them off the ceiling, there's a structural issue.
Correct.
And it gets to be a big issue on this big a building.
Right. The Crop Center in Augusta, we went and looked at it. Cam helped design a part of it. We went and looked at it. They hang basketball from the ceiling, and they hang volleyball nets from the ceiling. Gary, I hadn't seen that one before with our traveling daughters. They drop the net, the volleyball net down, and then anchor it into the floor, and it gets it out of the way.
Do they have a full kitchen over there?
They do.
Okay. Glenn, getting back to my question, do we have any idea at all how many young people, elderly people, I know if it's, you know, if there's a big party or something, a convention or whatever, if we go with the 400-person piece of this, then you're going to have all ages, and mainly you'll have older folks. But I'm just thinking, how about the kids?
The kids are there. I don't know whether you recently saw the tennis playing that takes place there, mm-hmm. in addition mm-hmm. to basketball taking place on the outdoor courts there.
Okay.
So the population of young people will come. It's not that isolated. The young people will not flock there.
Yeah.
And what you have to do, too, Mr. Mayor, one good way to judge is to see the kids that get on that bus early, school bus early in the morning, and you will see the number of kids that live very close to that yeah. facility.
Well, so, that was my right. thought too, my impression, and but if there is a desire to have that, I like your idea too of rolling in, maybe having a place where you can store and rolling in. The baskets, you know, for the basketball and rolling out.
Or you can hang
on occasion.
I mean, Reggie's correct. That changes how you build the room. And we had talked about a drop ceiling. That would eliminate a drop ceiling if we did that. Again, a drop ceiling we felt like a little more formal mm-hmm. atmosphere to
yeah.
it.
Well,
just thoughts.
And I know we've been wrestling with whether it should be a capacity with the banquet area of 150 versus 400. And Gil and I have had this conversation with a little humor connected with it that, depending on the family, 150 can consist of all your family members. If you don't believe it, just attend some of the funerals, and you will see some of how large families are. In my family, I have 9 siblings. So you can imagine if everybody comes for a family reunion, it's just family and no one else invited. So, let alone other public things. I think this facility will get a lot of usage. Plus, in talking with Roger and Glenn to build a 150 capacity, seating capacity facility versus 400, that's only about $300,000 more. So it's not that much more to increase the capacity of seating in that area.
And this banquet room would be available for rental for
yes.
anyone in the community that wished to rent it for an event.
Correct.
Right?
I think you'd see a lot of groups move to this facility. The first one that came to mind for me, we have the Foster Grandparents Group who meets at the Week Center monthly. I think they would look at this as closer to the clients that they're attracting, and they average around $225 once a month in there.
And it's also difficult to find a room that will hold 400 people mm-hmm. at an affordable price. And I don't know what this would rent for, but I think it would make it more appealing to a lot of the other facilities in town that's just way out of reach.
And one of the things we would do, I know one of your concerns is staffing. One of the things anytime, I still say we, one of the things PRT does is sit down and when they figure out the rental fee, you know, they include staffing costs and the cleanup costs and those kind of things in the rental fee.
If you needed to put, if you managed to put 400 people here, realistically, where would they all park? I mean, if you had 4 people to a vehicle, you got 280 people, mm-hmm. and that's not likely. I mean, there's going to be, you know, where would the excess parking, how would that impact the neighborhood?
Well, first, the agreement we would hope to do with the school district, even if it's on a temporary basis, would be to allow us to use their parking facility after hours.
Okay.
I think they're a 7 to 3:30 or an 8 to 8:30 crowd, a 4:30 crowd. They leave pretty early.
Yeah.
So most of our, and they don't normally work weekends, so most of our rental events would occur when the school district employees have gone. That's about 60 parking spaces right there in addition to the 70 that is shown on here.
That's 130. I'm not sure it's still enough.
Yeah.
Well, to give you a classic example, I shared with Roger that St. Mary's, is it St. the gym?
St. Angela Hall.
St. Angela Hall There's a group that rent that hall for some events, and that will seat roughly 300 or so people. And if you can imagine those folks coming to events, we find parking space, maybe some distance, but we'll find.
But they have a large parking area in the back, I think, along with the street.
No.
Their parking area in the back will probably, in the back of the, near the kitchen there, will probably park about 10, 12 cars, and then you got the funeral home, Brooks's funeral home across the street in the back that people park in that area, but we all find.
Are you talking about Houston's Park, or are you talking
about
St. Mary's?
I'm talking
about St. Mary's as well, the gym area.
There's a big area in the back of the church. And,
yeah, but anytime
on
there's
Bell Hill Street, is that what you're talking
about? I mean, that's
where
they have the chocolate festival there.
He's talking about Bell Hill Street.
But I think there's any time there's an event there, about half the parking lot's used up with the event people and the caterers and all of that, because basically it becomes a staff area is what happens with that parking lot.
If we decide to go to the 400 seats, it's something that you really don't want to have parking for every vehicle on a paved area.
Sure.
You know, we're looking at trying to landscape and, again, eventually get the maintenance facility from the county, school district. We could certainly put in some grassed areas, just like we do at Rye Patch, where people would temporarily, if they're going to go ahead
and... Or the green boundary lot.
Right. So that's something we'll just have to look at in our design.
Okay.
But I don't think we want to have 250 parking spaces.
Oh, no.
Does that want to specify a number of parking spaces based on the seating? It does, doesn't it?
I'm sure there are manuals that would tell us how many
we
have.
Not manuals. I mean, our zoning board. I know if you were putting retail space here, it would tell you exactly how many parking spaces you had to have.
Yes.
Our ordinance does, yes.
Yeah, and so, I mean, might we have to deviate then from the ordinance? Is that what you...
Correct. There's exceptions on... It used to be that you look at most of our shopping centers, and there's a whole lot more asphalt parking spaces than needed.
Right.
So we have looked at that and said we need to cut back on some of those.
Now, I'd rather have less, not more, too. I agree with everything you've said. I just want to make sure that we're prepared.
We follow our own regulations.
Or that we're prepared to deal with how to work with that.
Well, technically, it's not a commercial building either.
Right.
Yeah, but if we all follow the same rules we impose, and if we aren't going to follow them, we need to.
Well, I think you really, before you say that, we really need to look at the parking, because we've had several buildings since I've been on council got hung up over one or two places for this reason.
I mean, we need to have flexibility. I totally agree. I'm just saying if we're going to employ that flexibility here, we need to be prepared with how we're going to do it. I agree.
I think we're just trying to look at the concept tonight. There's going to obviously be a lot of issues that are developed.
Right.
I mean, if we were to speculate on where we are between now and letting a contract go, what do you think, Lynn?
Well, I want to suggest that if we're caught with parking and several of the issues, I'd suggest that we convene a small committee or a group to look at these issues that's being expressed, bring it back to council to bring some resolutions to some of these concerns.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not concerned. I think what Roger said about the number of parking spaces is on the money. All I'm saying is we just make sure that the way we do it is copacetic. I don't know another word. Copacetic, how do you get that in the minutes?
Anytime we've developed a new park in the past or made a major renovation like this, it's gone through the Planning Commission.
Okay.
I believe this would need to also.
Yes.
These are just plans for us to look at.
Concept.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to take it to the next step, which to grow the concept plan into final drawings. And so we need to have council say, yes, 150 or 250 or 400 seats. And what, you know, let's just say that you like everything else that's here. The next step for us, once we get your approval, is to go through an RFP, a request for proposal, with 3 to 5 architectural firms to come back and to give us a proposal on what they would do if they got this project. And that's going to take probably 30 to 60 days to get that those proposals back, and that would be the next step. We'd be coming back to you and saying, here's the request for proposals. Here, we'd like you to approve firm whatever to do the architectural drawings. It'll take them another probably 6 months, architectural drawings, and we would hope then that by the end of this fiscal year, or not fiscal, calendar year, to be under construction. But so we got concept plans tonight. If you're comfortable with those concept plans, even though we haven't decided on the size of the building, we could start then with the request for proposals while you're making the determination on a few of these last details. So that'd be the first thing. Are you comfortable enough that we could go out for proposals with architectural firms?
Let me raise a couple questions money-wise. And I guess it may be a city attorney question, but if we buy the land from the school district that we would need because of this center, no question about that, could we use the CPST2 money to buy that land and satisfy? I would think we would, because we're not buying the land to build the building, but we're buying the land and conjunction with the building.
I don't see why you couldn't.
And then if we go to CPS 3, we've got $3.5 million. Where do we get the added money for the number I wrote down for A was $4.7 million, for B $4.4 million, but clearly way over $3.5. Where would we get that money?
Well, first of all, we have about $1 million left in CPST 1. And we have $3.5 million in CPST 2, so that's $4.5 million. If we look at the money that we'd be getting from Council on Aging, either Council on Aging is going to bring us that $350,000, or they're not going to be in this building. I hate to be that harsh on it, but we then bring our numbers down to Concept A would be about $4.2 million. Concept B, which is the smaller community room, that's 3.9. And then if we went with Concept C, it's about $3.7 million. One of the things we're looking at is hopefully not having to buy the property, but to be able to swap some property near I-20 in one of our industrial parks with the school district for them to build a new facility. It may be that their property is worth $20,000 an acre and our property is only worth $15,000. We might have to pay a little bit more money, but certainly it's not going to be close to that $1 million that we have. Okay. So we think we'll have enough money, but again, until we get drawings completed, we will not be able to say directly this is exactly how much money we think it's going to cost us. Again, that's why I think it's a great process. Tonight we're here with concept plans. A couple of months we'll be there with the request for proposals. 6 months later we'll be saying here's the final drawings and the estimates so much. It allows you then during these stages to be able to say yes, we're ready to go forward or we're not ready to go forward. And so you always have a point where you could move back, so to speak, or move forward in one direction or another with this as you get more information.
We clearly need to move forward with the building. There's no question about that. The council has made that abundantly clear for the last several years.
I guess tonight the best thing to do would be if you could say, allow us to go forward with requests for proposals with the architectural firm, and in the meantime, we'd like to sit down with maybe three of you, and I have three names, and you guys might have some different names, but I think it would be great if Reggie, from his engineering building perspective, and then Gail and Leslie could sit down and look at the details here and then come back in the next 30 days to council with, here's some of our suggestions for final concept plans. Now, if others want to join in, that'd be fine, but I just thought that those are the logical three in my estimation.
Yeah, that's fine. I have a basic question, and it seems like going from 150 folks to 400 folks, and you know, we're asking ourselves, which one do we want, or somewhere in between. It seems to me we ought to have a better feel on how many people we want or is in that area. I mean, that's a big difference, 150.
But we won't be able to be partitioned off.
No.
If we need
not the bigger
to.
Room. Not the big
no,
room.
Not the big one.
Mr. Baker, we had community meetings to discuss this, neighborhood meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a pretty good population of folks that attended those meetings, mm-hmm. that agreed with those numbers.
Well, what is the number, though? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the pricing difference to me, I would go for the bigger number.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, we've got to decide what that number is going to be. And what did
the 400 number.
The team say?
The 400. Gail, what have you heard?
Do we need anything else then? Do we need
I think the 150 would be much too small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do too. But you could say, okay, how about 300, you know?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I find most of the time, you know, when you're designing something, you're always under-designed. And by the time it would get built, all of a sudden, you're looking for additional space. I
right.
think we should really
small.
Take a close look at the 400.
Oh, yes.
And the city's going to grow into it.
Well, I agree.
Today,
I agree. Why don't we just make that decision?
Glenn, square feet wise, for a 400 foot area that you're talking about, how many square feet would that be versus what we have at Odell Weeks on either side of the basketball courts?
The original Odell Weeks was around 25,000. That was one gym, four meeting rooms, and some offices. We added another.
What size is the gym over there compared to this room?
I don't know the square footage of the gym at Odell Weeks. I have. Kim, do you happen to know off the top of your head?
Wait, do you think the 400 room is bigger than the gym?
No.
No.
We have it would be bigger than the original gym. It'll be close to the new gym.
And the new gym is where we had our employee recognition. Okay.
Yeah. Basketball court's 94 by.
But don't
I can do the math.
Don't forget, there's a option C here where it's about Dick raises a valid concern about, you know, where the money comes from, and you know, we don't want to get down the wire and then have problems with that. But option C, you can still seat 400 if that's the most important thing to be able to seat a whole bunch of people. You know, option C, you take out two classrooms, make the whole building shorter. So you do have a third option that, or a second option, in which you still can see that 400.
You did not get an option C originally with your package, but it came tonight.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think
it's hard to figure out because 400 people. How often are you going to fill it with 400 people?
You'd be surprised.
Well, I hope I am. I hope I am. I really do.
Yeah.
While we may not fill it every week at 400, we're going to turn away a lot of people who want 200 if we go at 150.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get a lot of requests
beyond
that.
Well, it would be the largest, I think, facility in the city, wouldn't it, 400?
Other than the Convocation Center, yes.
Yeah, which is way too expensive.
I'd be in favor of going forward, as Roger suggested, with the concept plan at 400, and to have that subcommittee of the three he named, anybody else that wanted to participate, to further flesh out the concept plan. But I'm agreeable to that as long as we do our due diligence and preparation in figuring this out, and then preparation to figure out how to pay for it.
Are you leaning towards C?
Well, A or C, but I would expect, if you guys are in the subcommittee, I'd expect y'all to you know, come up with a plan for how you're going to pay for it if you do A, and how you're going to pay for it if you're going to do B, and I'm sorry, C, and then if you find that we still can't pay for it, then maybe what if we did 325 seats instead of 400 or something like that? That doesn't make a big difference in the overall price of the building.
The key here is to revisit the construction cost estimates, number one, and see if we can reduce that some. And secondly, make sure that we're not going over the budget, over what is there in terms of funds. That there is enough leeway there, that we know that there's some money that we could possibly leave on the table versus spending it all.
That's what you want.
Right.
I'm okay with that. We need to move forward. Glenn and I were talking earlier today. We did a concept plan square footage at about $100 to $110 a square foot over 3 years ago, so you can see how the prices are going up.
Well, I think his I know Glenn might differ with me, but I think his estimates are on some issues. Some of these things are fairly conservative. I think $20,000 for landscaping, unless we're using inmate labor, $20,000 and getting some shrubs free or something, or digging them up from somewhere else, I think it's going to be tough to do $20,000 in landscape, to keep it at $20,000 in landscape. But you have contingencies and things like that.
But there's other elements here, like if it's got a stage on it. You all may not want one, but we, again, thought this gives it that multi-purpose. A lot of events that could be held there that if you didn't have a stage.
Are you going to have people walk in a rent of gospel?
It'll have a tile floor, not a wood floor, so it'd be look more like a banquet room than a gymnasium.
So those do things like Glenn suggested. You can hold off on building the studio. You can build the space for the studio, and you can hold off on building the studio if budget requires it.
Now, and meanwhile, we'll determine from Council on Aging, do we need to have a full DEC kitchen versus, you know, just a catering kitchen? We would prefer a catering kitchen from a staff-wise because of all the liabilities and other things that go along with the larger kitchen.
Well, I think the prudent thing is to press on with the 400, and if we find we need to back at some point as we go along, we can, and the committee can help in that regard. But we.
What I'm hearing from Council is we will go ahead with the request for proposals. We'll get this group together with Council on Aging and bring back something to Council on some of these final decisions. But right now we're looking at probably 400 seat with that portico. We'll see where Council on Aging is at. Hopefully when we come back to you, again, they have not gone to their full board with all of this.
So, Roger, based on the timeline, possible timeline you've given us, the concept plan, the RFP, the final drawings, we're possibly looking at, if things move pretty smoothly, the end of the year, possibly starting something with this property, some
now, by the fact that you're allowing us to go forward with the request for proposals now, instead of waiting another 2 or 3 weeks, we should have that architect back to you in March. You know, we're going to hire architect so-and-so to do this work, which means if you give them 6 months to design it, which this is not a difficult building to design. It's a fairly common building. 6 months should be plenty of time. So that would be sometime September. Then you go out for bids. I don't see any reason why you couldn't break ground by the end of the year.
I have a couple of comments that I'd like to make, if with your permission to pass my comments to the city manager to pass on to Glenn. I think you ought to go ahead and have Scott run a number on the porch or porte-cochere, whatever you want to call it. And I mentioned to you, and you mentioned already, moving Council on Aging. Don't forget your noise factor there. It's a big issue. One of the key reasons for having it next to the mechanical room in the kitchen is the noise. If you have a conference room there, you're going to pick up all that noise. We as council have to remember we don't have to take the low bidder when we get these RFPs in. I think that's going to...
Not the low bidder on architects. Professional. Like with any bid, you want to get the... best responsible bidder to...
Well, whatever words you want to use, we need to choose the right company.
Correct.
Versus some of the other experiences we've had with some of the companies.
Right.
I'm trying to be professional about what I'm saying here.
You want a quality construction, in other words.
And a quality package. Mm-hmm. The devil's in the details.
Well, and having the right architectural firm could save you a lot of money at the other end.
We have some issues with some of them. And then I think we need to check to be sure the catering kitchen, Sam or David, and be sure that the kitchen is large enough for 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It just seems a little small compared to what I see at Newberry and what Sam had over here. We sure don't want to wind up having stuff out the hallway. We're trying to make this a professional organization. So if you could check on those couple of things, if it's all right with the city manager, and we have a committee meeting, those will be important to us, I think.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You need a motion, or is it...
I think we ought to have a motion and vote. We've been on this now for my 5 years on council, so let's see if you'll make some kind of motion, we'll say yes to it.
The motion is to go ahead with the approval to start with the concept plan A, and then if the three people that will meet to discuss more details will bring back any changes to council.
And to allow us to go out for requests for proposals.
And to go out for an RFP.
I second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
You might want to repeat the motion for Philip, who...
I was coming through the conference room and I heard it.
Okay. Show of hands. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously.
Thank you for doing that, Leslie. This ought to move us forward this time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Ready for a motion?
Okay. Yes, we need to go into executive session. Let me read.
Richard Johnson said he has a comment to make.
I'm sorry? Sure. Richard?
Thanks, Glenn.
The mayor and council, I'm just sitting listening to the discussion, and I am elated that you decided to go with the 400 capacity. I can envision groups wanting to use the facility from out of town, and there's not a place in the Aiken area now that would accommodate a certain group, and so this is the right group, the right size, so hopefully it'll work out that way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Okay. We need to go into executive session now and to have a session for... I'm reading somebody...
Can you read for it?
...words here. So that we get it right. And the purpose of discussing the possible sale of purchase of real estate. In accordance with...
I second.
What's this, Gary? You wanted
South Carolina Code Section 30-4-7.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Okay. And a second. Show of hands, please. All to go in. Okay. Passes unanimously.
You had a question for Roger.